sir, it's late afternoon as we approach the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here on the front porch, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook and their son, Mr. Rush Gook. Our friends are seated in a row on the top step but one, enjoying temperate breezes and splendid summer sunshine. Listen.
When on earth are you going to get around to putting up our porch swing?
You said the chains were rusted through.
Buy new ones.
Isn't that in your department?
Well, I don't see why it should be.
You do all the shopping, purchasing, and huckstering for the outfit.
Well, this is hardware, though. It's more of a man's job.
You're the party that bought our new coal scuttle.
All right. I'll go to Holder Brothers and lug 50 pounds of iron chains.
I will, Dr. Stitch.
When?
Oh, tomorrow.
Well, don't forget. Otherwise, we'll be sitting here on the steps till Christmas like heathens.
What are you pondering over so deeply, little dove?
I'm facing a problem concerning swings myself.
Really?
It's also a problem concerning Nicer Scott.
Nicer's a good boy.
Yeah.
What is the problem?
Well, sir, I'm wondering if I'd be a horrible hypocrite if I made friends with Nicer.
I believe we got an understanding. You're to make friends with Nicer and keep friends with Nicer.
Yeah, but all that off to one side.
No, not all that off to one side.
What I got in mind is something else again. Thing is, Gov, I don't like Nicer and never will like Nicer. However, right at this particular season, it would be to my advantage to cultivate his goodwill.
He has in his possession a large box of chocolate?
No, not that quite.
He has something in his possession you covet?
He has something in his possession I could use, all right.
What's that?
The two trees in his backyard out by the garbage box.
Papa is mystified.
I'll explain.
Okay.
I bumped into Uncle Fletcher this morning on Kelsey Street.
Oh, really? How is he?
Fine.
He never behaved like he was miffed.
Uh-uh.
He hasn't dropped by or telephoned since last week.
Said he'd been very busy lately.
What doing?
Oh, riding around in garbage wagons, I guess.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm glad he didn't act miffed. Occurred to me once or twice in the last couple of days his feelings might have been hurt last time he was here.
I don't think so.
A person can never tell how he's going to take stuff.
What's this problem you face, Cousin Will?
Uncle Fletcher's landlady's got a dandy hammock she brought down from Dixon.
Yeah?
I understand it's a peach. Big soft headrest, long fringe, plenty of room for two people, strong ropes, and a number 100% high-class hammock from the word go.
Uncle Fletcher offered to you?
Yes, he did.
We got no place to put any hammock.
No, we haven't. And neither has Miss Keller. That's why Uncle Fletcher offered us the use of it for the summer.
I begin to add two and two together and get...
Nicer Scott.
Yeah, Nicer Scott.
Those two trees in Scott's backyard out by the garbage box are exactly the right distance apart for a hammock. You could search this wide world over and never find a...
No, I don't think so, Rush.
Beg pardon?
I'm not such arms around the neck chums with Miss Scott. I'd feel like asking a favor like that.
Like what?
Requesting the use of their backyard.
A hammock, ma'am, is a wonderful thing.
Yes, I know. Very comfortable.
An individual can sprawl out and relax till who laid the chunk.
Hammocks is nice, all right.
I was thinking I could cultivate a beautiful friendship with Nicer to where he'd be glad to offer them two trees of his.
No. Other people's backyards is a horse of a different color. It's all right to borrow a cup of sugar, a dab of butter, and like that off a neighbor's, but the use of their backyards is something else again. And with Miss Scott chilly the way she is, the whole business is out of the question. Might possibly work out with Miss Donahue if she had trees the right distance apart for hammocks, but I'm afraid I'd have to draw the line at Miss Scott.
I was apprehensive you'd feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Still in all, though, a fella hates to let the chance of laying in a hammock slip through his fingers.
Nobody else around here got a yard with suitable trees?
Not a soul. Vernon Pago's Aunt May's got suitable trees, but she lives way to heck and going out on Morris Avenue.
Maybe you better just forget it, then.
Hammock could certainly be swell this summer.
Have you sounded out Nicer on the matter, Sam?
Yes, I have.
What was his reaction?
About what you'd expect. I told him about it this noon, and a while ago when I come up the alley, he was standing out in his backyard with an axe.
Axe?
He was staring intently at one of the trees. His idea was to terrify me, see? He wanted to give me the impression he was playing with the notion of chopping down one of the trees.
Oh.
If he chopped down one of the trees, of course, it'd remove all hopes for a hammock.
Well, couldn't you and Nicer work out a deal on a cooperative basis?
How you mean, Gov?
Cold-blooded, down-to-the-bone business, undiluted by the milk of human kindness.
I don't catch on.
Well, you have a hammock. Nicer has the location for a hammock. Hammock and location are each worthless without the other. Couldn't an arrangement be set up whereby the two of you could pool your assets and obtain something to your mutual benefit?
Huh?
I have this in mind. You lay in the hammock on Mondays. Nicer lays in the hammock on Tuesdays. You lay in the hammock on Wednesdays. Nicer lays in the hammock on Thursdays, and so forth.
Huh.
Neither guy could feel obligated to the other.
What would you think of that, Mom?
Well, I couldn't ever bring myself to ask Miss Scott for the use of her backyard.
Well, she'd be enjoying the use of your hammock, though.
Be me asking the favor.
Yeah, I suppose.
Sure.
And then there's also the angle of Uncle Fletcher.
What angle's that?
If I accept the hammock and find a place to put it, he expects to lay in it considerable.
You say so?
Yeah.
Satisfactory schedule could still be worked out. Establish an understanding with Uncle Fletcher, whereby he's at liberty to lay in the hammock every day in the week between the
other
hours.
Other angle's still got.
Yeah?
My friends, Nicer's friends, my relatives, Nicer's relatives, you and Mom's guests, Mr. and Miss Scott's guests.
Would they all expect to lay in the hammock?
Well, wouldn't they?
I hadn't considered that aspect of the situation.
Mom's pal Miss Kreider calls frequently, and about 3 out of every 4 times she calls, she has to lay down on account of a headache. Wouldn't it be natural for Mom to say, Miss Kreider, go outdoors and stretch out in our hammock a few minutes?
I doubt if I'd say that.
Be natural for you to. And then, Gov, there's Hank Gutstock. He likes laying down better than eating dinner. If he found out you were the proprietor of a hammock, he'd be on hand every afternoon. Then there's Miss Scott's brother. He's in town a lot. And all my friends, Smelly Clark, Bluetooth Johnson, Rooster Davis, Leroy Snow, Leland Richards, Russell Duncan, Milton Welch, Cracky Otto, whole slew.
That hammock will resemble a can of sardines on brisk days.
Uncle Fletcher's landlady will be another party that'll expect to enjoy it. After all, it's her property.
Mm-hmm.
If UNC visits us from Carberry this summer, she'll want to use it. Miss Stembottom might want to stretch out for a snooze occasionally, Mom. And Miss Brighton and Miss Trogle and Miss Heddles and Miss Healy. And then there's Nicer's pals. Ed Hoggle, Scissor Neck Edwards, Bill Veepley, Fat Morris, Wilbert Stang.
You see, that hammock will resemble a can of sardines on brisk days.
Oh, beg pardon. Didn't realize anybody else was in here.
Think no more about it. Let me introduce myself. My name is Mr. Harrison.
My name is Mr. Brown.
Glad to form your acquaintance. Shake hands with my friend, Mr. Kilgore.
Oh, thought we was the only ones in this hammock.
Not at all. My cousin William's underneath here someplace, and those feet with the brown oxfords belong to my Uncle George.
No, but all jokes smothered and forgotten. It presents quite a problem.
I'd forget the whole thing, Willie.
Oh.
On top of my objections to asking Miss Scott for the use of her backyard this summer, I'd also hate to be responsible for somebody else's property.
Oh.
Another thing, our family's always been unlucky with hammocks.
Unlucky?
Your grandfather fell out of one in Stanwood, Iowa, and broke his collarbone. My cousin Robert fell out of one in St. Paul, Minnesota, and smashed his thumb to where he had to give up playing the violin. Uncle Fletcher himself fell out of a hammock once. Got a goose egg on his forehead big as my shoe.
Huh.
Of course, I don't make anything superstitious out of that or anything, but, you know, no sense in waving the red flag at the angry bull. So, take it all in all, maybe you better thank Uncle Fletcher for the hammock very kindly next time you see him and say you're afraid it won't work out.
No.
Don't you think so?
Okay.
I like the notion of a hammock out in Scott's backyard on a good brisk day.
A lot of people after it, you mean? Darn it, I never knew this hammock was occupied.
Perfectly all right. Crawl right in. I'm Mr. John Williams.
I'm Mr. Sam Jackson.
Meet my son, Harry.
Where's he?
Down underneath here someplace. Oh, Harry!
This is Keith Heltzley, and I wanted to talk about Vic and Sade episode with a hammock. I think it aired on June 3rd, 1941. And it kind of starts out with them all gathered on their front porch talking about the porch swing. And if you didn't read the title of the show, you might think it's a porch swing episode. But once Vic and Sade each have their own finger pointing at who's at fault for not getting it hung up, The whole tone of the show changes when Rush announces that he has this hammock, and the dilemma that the only people in town who has trees spaced exactly apart, which really, in any given neighborhood, probably nobody or very few people would have trees spaced apart for a hammock, although that's ideally what you would want to do. But turns out to be his arch nemesis, Nicer Scott, which, of course, Mrs. Scott happens to be Sade's arch nemesis. And so that's it, is you have this cool benefit of the hammock, but you have to partake in it with a known enemy. Now, what I thought was kind of interesting is Vic actually starts, hey, let's work out a deal. Let's arrange, you could take a day and Nicer takes a day, and then Rush is like, no, well, that won't work because I got friends and he's got friends and we got family, and then it turns into everybody wanting a piece of this nice hammock action going on, to the point of Rush pretty much talks himself out of it, it seems to me, which of course Sade seems to be a bit relieved over that. But the other funny thing that I really like about this show is whenever all this complicated stuff starts going down, Vic jumps in with the commenting about this hammock will be like a can of sardines with all these people laying in it. And it's only a two-person hammock to begin with. And he and Sade goes into this little dialogue between themselves about, oh, hello, Mr. Johnson. Oh, hello, Mrs. Smith. How did you get here? Where's my son, Harry? Have you seen him? He's buried under this pile. And they just kind of have fun with that. I also thought it was a little interesting that one reason why Sade didn't want this hammock is she says that relatives have fallen out of hammocks, from what, grandfather to another relative to even Uncle Fletcher with such damaged body parts as a smashed thumb so they couldn't play the violin to a broken collarbone. But anyway, yeah, it's an episode I kind of forgot was out there, and it was nice to be able to review this, and it was nice to be able to review this and share some thoughts with you, Jimbo. So this has been Keith Heltzley of Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com.
Thank you very much, Keith, for your input. A lot of us say that Vic and Sade is, although it's a serial, you can just pick it up at any moment. And that's probably true, but in this episode, Sade refers to an incident that took place in real time just 2 days prior. And we actually covered it on our last episode of Vic and Sade Cast, and that is Uncle Fletcher getting all mixed up and maybe getting his feelings hurt over at the cookhouse as they went through the steps with him about how to call long distance to Carberry. And Sade brings that up. She was talking to Rush and asked him if Uncle Fletcher, you know, still felt bad about what was going on the other day. So that would directly, you know, was part of a serial, basically. If you weren't keeping up with the serial, you would have had no idea what was going on with Uncle Fletcher and the Gooks. But we know, because we're just lucky enough to have that episode. And, you know, there are probably lots and lots and lots and lots of things that we're missing out on, that are just little bitty pieces that we may hear and it may not click. But it would click if we had all the episodes, so that's something to note. This hammock is so unique that Rush basically is saying to us, there's so little to do in this neighborhood other than, you know, go to the movies and the restaurants, go shopping and play baseball, whatever. There's so little to do that laying in the hammock exciting. And it's different. And everybody wants to do it. He mentioned probably, I don't know how many people. You know, we're looking at 30, 40 people who may want to use this hammock. It's a hammock. It's a hammock. It just shows you how little we appreciate things or how spoiled we are. A hammock to those people was a big deal. A big deal. Kind of like, I remember an episode in the early 30s of Vic and Say that we just have on script. And it's about jigsaw puzzles in there. And the big craze of jigsaw puzzles and how excited they were to actually have a jigsaw puzzle. A jigsaw puzzle. It's just amazing how spoiled we are. You know, something was mentioned in here that I don't believe we've ever heard anywhere else. In that, Rush says Hank Gestop likes to lay down. Like that's one of his big pastimes. Now, we know that he goes to sleep at the railroad platform, and he was known to sleep at the Lazy Hours pool hall. He was known to sleep at the barbershop where he worked. But this is the first time we've actually been told that he likes to lay down. Now, that's something to contemplate, and I really haven't contemplated it because I just realized it. So I'm going to have to contemplate that a while. So thanks again to Keith, and thanks everybody for listening. And we'll be back tomorrow, hopefully, with another Vic and Sage guest.